opportunity to be able to be back, and I think the connection that was Paul Rogers. He was in our youth group when we were at Keystone, and so I was trying to think, and we were talking about that this last night with the Runkles when we were there, and so just great opportunity to be able to be back. Good to see some familiar faces. Good to see some unfamiliar faces as well. And we look forward to being able to get to know you as we go throughout the day. I'll take just a minute and introduce my family to you, and then you'll be able to get to see them during the morning service. Our family will be singing. Back here on my left, your right, we have Jennifer, and she's my wife, and I am so grateful for her. And we've been married now for 20 years, and grateful for the opportunity that God has given to us to be able to serve together. And then we have our three oldest children are in here. Megan, who is 17, and then Joseph is 14, and Caitlin is 13. They are in the middle of changing their, in fact, Caitlin just turned 13 last Saturday, and so I was saying that slowly to make sure that I got it correct. But and then we have our youngest, and that is Lena, and she is somewhere, I'm guessing, in a Sunday school class. And she is 9, but you will get to see them later on as we have opportunity to be able to sing, and they will be around for the services. But so appreciate the opportunity to be able to be back, and looking forward to speaking in the school chapels and for the camp time down at Rapidan. We are looking forward to that and trust that God will use that time in their lives. But we are going to get you involved with the theme that the school has. And from what I understand, it's following Christ always. That is the theme that is going to be being presented through the school camp, as well as perhaps a theme for the whole entire year. And in order for us to begin that, we're going to take a look this morning at a very familiar passage of Scripture. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and we are going to be taking a look at again, as I mentioned, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I hope that the familiarity of it will not cause us to be bored with it, but instead I hope that we will be able to see some things perhaps either in a different light or in a new way that perhaps we have not looked at this passage of Scripture before. Daniel chapter 1, and let me ask you a question as we get started, get some involvement here from you. How many of you like to be told a good story? Anybody? Okay. Yeah, I think we all like to enjoy either watching or hearing a good story. I personally don't think that I am a very good storyteller, but I enjoy trying. And I remember reading stories to our kids, and you know, sometimes it would make them laugh. Sometimes they'd be like, really, Dad? You know, but everybody likes a good story. You know, one of the things that makes a good story is understanding who the characters are and what part those characters play in the story. Let me give to you a couple of stories that hopefully you are familiar with. And then what I want you to do is I want somebody to let me know who is the main character in that story, all right? And so let's start off with this one. How about Goldilocks and the Three Bears? Somebody tell me who is the main character. Goldilocks, very good, okay, 100% so far. How about this one? What about Cinderella? Yeah, not a trick question. Yeah, very good, Cinderella, okay. How about this one? What about this story, Charlotte's Web? Who is the main character? Okay, you can debate that, okay. Some people will say it's Wilbur. Other people would say, well, it has to be Charlotte. I mean, it's named after her, and, you know, it's kind of going through. You can debate that at lunch when you go home if you disagree with your children or spouse, okay? How about The Wizard of Oz? Dorothy, okay? Pretty obvious one there. What about this one? Alice in Wonderland. Alice, okay. Some of you are like, oh, I'm waiting for the trick question, okay? What about this one? Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Charlie, okay? How about this one? And what about The Little Engine That Could? The train, okay? The little engine, you know? As you go through and you have these different stories, you know, pretty soon as you get into the story, you understand who the main character of the story is. Now, we're going to be looking at a book in the Bible this morning that is not a made-up, fictitious story. This is an actual story in the life of a man. These events actually took place. But let me ask you this question. Who's the main character in the book of Daniel? See, some of you now, you're like, I see where the trick question is coming in. Yes, okay? And I heard the correct answer right up here. Rudy gave it to me. Who is the main character in the book of Daniel? It's God. See, oftentimes we focus so much on Daniel that we forget that really, the main character in the book of Daniel is really God. Because really, there are chapters, even in the book of Daniel, where Daniel's not even mentioned in that chapter, but we see God very present and God at work in people's lives. And you know, in order for us to be able to start off with this theme that we're going to be looking at with the kids in chapel and down at camp, we have to understand the importance that God ought to have in our lives. And so what I want to do is I want to take a look in Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to see a real-life example of someone who realized that he needed to follow God always, even though his world around him was changing. Do you realize how quickly our world is changing around us? And oftentimes we don't even notice it. Oftentimes we notice it the most in areas of like technology and things like that. But our world is changing so rapidly that it seems like we're constantly falling behind. But even though our world is changing so rapidly behind us, we can still follow our God. But in the midst of all of this change, it's important for us to recognize some truths about our God and how we ought to follow Him. And so this morning, I'm going to take a look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to see how we can follow God even in the midst of change. But in order for us to do that, I think we have to stop and spend some time taking a look one character that I think Daniel, characteristic I should say, about God that he recognized. And I think one of the characteristics that we see Daniel recognizing about God is we see that God, or Daniel knew that his God was faithful. Even though the world around him was changing, even though his environment changed, even though a lot of things changed very early in his life, Daniel knew that God was faithful. And you know, the Scriptures remind us about the faithfulness of our God. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, it says this, it says that He is God, the faithful God. Now, if you understand who Deuteronomy is being written to, it's being written to the generation that was either 20 or below as they came out of Israel, and now they would have been the generation that is the mature generation. Their parents would have died off in the wilderness, if you will. And so what is Moses reminding them of as they get ready to go into the promised land? He's reminding them, don't forget that your God is faithful. He's brought you through the wilderness, and he's going to remind him of a lot of things that God has done, and he reminds them of the faithfulness of God. In Psalm 89 and verse 1, the songwriter took this psalm and wrote the song, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Hey, mom and dad. You and I need to be ingraining and implanting in the minds of our young people the faithfulness of God. That God is always faithful. And that we can serve Him, we can trust Him, we can love Him, we can depend on Him, because He is a faithful God. And He says, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Even there, Jeremiah reminding the people that God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthian believers that God is faithful. He'll bring their attention back to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Faithful. And so all throughout the Scriptures, we have this promise that is given to us that God is faithful. Let me give to you just a few more verses. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, he says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 John 1, 9, probably many, if not all of you, could quote this verse, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Revelations chapter 19 and verse 11, in the description of this character that John is speaking of in Revelation 19, 11, he says, He is called faithful and true. Faithful. God is a faithful God. And so as we examine this true story that is given to us here in the book of Daniel, I hope that we will be reminded of the faithfulness of God. Do you want to know something? There ought to be a response to that faithfulness. That even when we are in a world that is in the midst of change, we can remember that God is faithful. Let's take a look at a couple of different areas that we saw Daniel, or that we see taking place in the life of Daniel, where we see him, because of his understanding of the faithfulness of God, we see that he is able to follow God always, even in these different situations that we're going to look at, because he understood and he claimed and he depended on the faithfulness of God. First thing is this, we see that Daniel followed God always, even in the middle of change, and we're going to be looking at some different changes. And the first area that we're going to see is this. We see that he remained faithful even in his change in location. Daniel remained faithful even though there was a change that was taking place in his God. And one of the first areas that we see that was changed in Daniel's life, and even in the midst of this change, he chose to follow God always, was this. It was his change in location. You know, in verse 3, it says this. It says, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz." Now, in order for you to understand what was taking place, here is Daniel and his friends, the people of Israel, and they are taken over. They are taken captive. They are taken prisoners. And as they are taken captive, and as they are taken as prisoners of war, if you will, they are brought back to Babylon. And as they are there in Babylon, their whole world has changed. Be kind of like us waking up this morning, and instead of us getting in our cars and driving here to church, we would drive to the airport, or somebody would have taken us, driven us to the airport, put us on a plane, and they would have dropped us off in the Middle East somewhere where there would have been people who were completely different than we were. This was a huge change in location. And even though he was in a different environment, even though he found himself in a different location, we still see that Daniel was able to follow God always, even in the midst of a change of location. He was willing to follow God always. Can I ask you a question? Is there any place that you can think of where God does not expect us to be faithful? You know, sometimes as we talk with people and as we have the opportunity to be able to travel and be able to minister with people, it's kind of interesting to see how people respond or how people live depending on the locations that they're in. You know, at church, they'll live one way. They'll try to live in a way that is pleasing to God, but then they go someplace else. They will find themselves with a different group of people, whether it is at work or whether it is at some sort of recreational event. And as they are doing that, they kind of morph into this whole other person. And instead of following after God, instead of living in obedience to Him, we see them changing. Why is that? I think one of the reasons why we see that taking place is because they forget about the faithfulness of God and the fact that God is with them wherever they go. There's no place that you and I can't go or can go that God is not there. In fact, Psalm 139, the psalmist talks about that. He says, if I go out into the desert, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I go to the heights of all places, you are there. There's no place that we can go that God is not there. And you want to know something? Instead of that being something that we dread, that ought to be something that is an encouragement to us, because when we are there, we know that God is there and God is always faithful. And we have a God who is faithful regardless of the location that we are in. You know, whether it is here at school, whether it's here at church, whether it is when we go to camp, whether it is when you go off to college as a young person, whether it is when you go to your workplace, whether it is in your very own homes, you and I need to remember that God is faithful, regardless of the location. And because God is faithful and because God is there with me, we can choose to serve our great God. And so as we consider the different locations that we go, I think we need to realize that it is not the environment that ought to change us, but instead we ought to be seeking to change the environment that we go into. Because God is faithful. Consider these two things. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ is speaking, and he's in the Sermon on the Mount, and he tells us that we need to be two things. First of all, he says that we need to be light. He says, "You're the light of the world." And as the light of the world, we are to let our light shine in such a way that people are going to see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Do you know what happens when you take light into a dark room? It changes it. You come into a room like this and it's dark and you flip on the light switch, you know what happens? All of a sudden it changes. Why? Because light changes things. And God has called you and I to be a light in this world. In the midst of a dark world, we are told to walk as children of light in Ephesians chapter 6. And as we walk in children as children of light, we ought to be making a difference in this world. Instead of allowing the world to influence us and change us in the different locations that we go, God has called us to change the locations that we go into. So he tells us that we need to be light. Second illustration that he gives to us is that of salt. You know, salt changes things, doesn't it? When you put salt on your food, it enhances the taste. It is something that changes it. And just like light and salt, as they are introduced into different places or different environments, they change things. God has called you and me to be that light and that salt, to go into these different locations, these different environments, and to be influencing our environment for the cause of Jesus Christ rather than allowing them to influence us. And so I wonder tomorrow whether you go to school, whether you go to your workplace, whether you go to a time of recreation, whether you go to your neighborhood or you talk to your neighbors, do you remember that God is faithful? And as you remember that God is faithful, remember that He is faithful regardless of the change in our environment or the locations of our lives that we go into. A second place that we see in this passage of Scripture concerning Daniel is that not only is he faithful in spite of a change in location, but second of all, we see that he follows after God always despite his change in learning. Despite his change in learning. First thing that we see is that he followed God always despite his change in location. Second of all, his change in learning. Take a look at verse 4. As these people, these young people, they call them children in verse 4, as they were taken captive, he says this, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, notice this, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Here is Daniel, placed into a different environment, a different location, completely foreign to him and to his friends that were around. And as he went into this different location, not only was the location going to try and cause him to forget his God and to forget the faithfulness of God, but also the learning that was being given to him. You know, our minds are like sponges. Now, we often don't really want to admit this or think this, but we are learning stuff all the time. You know, there's the old expression, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, we can't, okay? But there are certain things that we find in certain ways that we learn and that we grasp and that we understand things. Well, here is Daniel, who is taken from his home environment. Now he's dumped into a different location, and immediately they're going to begin to try and assault his mind with a different way of thinking. Now, please do not be naive in this passage of Scripture when he says in verse 5, he says, and teach them the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Listen, they were not just trying to simply teach them a different language, because in the verses before, or in the phrases before, he talks to them as well about the knowledge and understanding science, and they had to have the ability to stand in the king's palace. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to teach these young men a whole different lifestyle. And there was a learning, there was a way of teaching that they were trying to indoctrinate them and begin to change their lives by affecting the way that they think. You know, oftentimes we forget the importance of guarding our minds. We forget that as we go throughout our days, whether it is reading billboards, reading books, listening to the radio, whether it's even in conversations with people, you realize that we are gaining information and we are picking things up and we are hearing things, and it's going to affect the way that we think. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, the way that you and I think is so important. And here in this passage of Scripture in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 4, as they were taken captive, they were beginning this process, if you will, we could call it this, of brainwashing these young men. They were trying to get into their minds and to affect the way that they think, to cause them to forget about the way that they used to think and to now think in a way of the Chaldeans. And what is taking place here in Daniel is Daniel is being challenged as to whether he is going to follow God always and hold to the truths that he has been taught about his God from perhaps his parents and other people who were in his life, the truths that he knew about God, or whether he was going to abandon those things and whether he was going to hold to these truths that were being taught to him in this new location or this new environment. You know, as we follow through with the life of Daniel, not to spoil the outcome of the story, but we see Daniel remaining faithful. Daniel remains faithful in spite of this different learning and in spite of these different things that were taking place in his life. He remains faithful because he understood the faithfulness of his God. And no matter what location he was in, no matter what people tried to teach him or tell him, he was able to understand the nature and the character of his God. And so I ask you this, as you are presented with different philosophies, ways of thinking from our culture around us, how much is that influencing the way that you think? How much is the culture around you influencing the way that you think about your God? How much is it influencing the way that you think about God's Word? How much is it influencing you about the promises that are given to us in God's Word and the truths that we need to apply in God's Word? Daniel was seeking to follow God always, regardless of the fact that people were trying to change the truths that he knew about God. This was not written, obviously, when Daniel was around, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, the Bible says this, "Casting down imaginations." Where do imaginations take place? They take place in our mind. It takes place, we could even say this, to kind of interchangeably use them. It takes place in our hearts. We are told in that passage of Scripture that we need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so those thoughts that come into our mind, we need to take them captive. And is this a thought that is obedient to God? Is it something that is acceptable to God? If it is not, I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to meditate on it. I'm going to let that pass through my mind. But as things that are pleasing to God, those are the things I'm going to meditate on. Those are the things that I'm going to dwell on. The psalmist put it well in Psalm 19 when he said this. He said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." The thoughts, the things that come into our minds, they influence the way that we live. And as a result, we need to make sure that we guard the way that we think. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, the scripture says this. It says, "Beware." You ever gone to someone's property and you've seen a sign that says "Beware" there as you're getting ready to go? Maybe you're passing out tracts or you're dropping information off, maybe about the church or something. And as you show up, there is this sign that says "Beware." When I was a youth pastor, we used to take the young people. Normally on a Wednesday, we would go out and we would do some canvassing. We would invite kids to come out to the youth group, and we'd invite them to different functions and activities, special events. And we would go, and I would divide them up, you know, send two guys this way, two girls this way. You know, I'd drop them off, then I'd come back, and I'd pick them up. And I remember one time I sent this group of guys out. There were two of them, and they were going, and they were passing out this information. And when I came back to pick them up, where I told them I was going to pick them up, this one guy had a napkin or something that was wrapped around his hand. And when he got on the bus, I asked him, I said, "What happened?" Well, the boy's name was Chase, and Chase began to tell me this story. He said they walked up to this house, and when they got up to the fence line that was there, there was a sign on the side that said, "Beware of dog." And so immediately in his mind, he began to imagine this vicious dog, you know, that was either somewhere in the house or somewhere in the yard. And so they very carefully walked up the sidewalk, trying to look and listen, make sure that they didn't see this big dog that was coming. Finally, they got up on the porch, and as they got up on the porch, they didn't hear anything, they didn't see anything. They thought, well, the dog must be inside. They knocked on the door, and when they knocked on the door, they heard this bark. And as soon as they heard this bark, both of these guys began to run off of the porch. They ran down the sidewalk around the gate area that was there. And when he came down around the gate area, there was a little bit of gravel that was on the sidewalk, some sand and small pebbles. And his feet went out from underneath him. He slid on the sidewalk, and that's why he had that napkin on his hand. And so I asked him, I said, "Well, Chase," I said, "what kind of dog was coming after you?" And he just kind of hung his head. And And he was sitting there in the seat, and I said, "Chase, what kind of dog was it, you know?" And I'm expecting him to say a German Shepherd, a Rottweiler, a Doberman, you know, but it was nothing more than one of those little yippy dogs, you know, that he probably could have punted 25 yards and, you know, wouldn't have made any difference. But what happened? In his mind, he saw that sign that said, "Beware." Why? Because he thought there's a real danger that is there. Well, guess what? In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Scripture says there is a real danger that you and I need to be aware of. What is that danger? He says, "Beware." Beware of what? "Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Where does it start? Where does it start in the lives of young people and other Christians who you and I know, who used to faithfully attend church, who used to faithfully serve God, who used to faithfully witness? Where does it start that now they don't want anything to do with God and they don't darken the doorstep of a church? Where does it start? It starts right up here in the way that they think. So you and I must be on guard in the areas that we think. Daniel could have very easily let his guard down in the way that he thought, the things that he knew about his God, and the truths that he knew about how that needed to affect his life. But instead, Daniel said, no, I'm going to follow God always. And regardless of the location that I'm in, regardless of the learning, the brainwashing that is trying to take place in my life, I am going to remember these truths about my God. So I ask us this morning, what are we learning from the things that we read? What are you learning from the television shows that you watch, the movies that you entertain yourself with? What are you learning from the games that you play, the music that you hear and you sing? What are you learning from the conversations that you have with people around you? Are you remembering that as you have those things and the culture is trying to influence the way that we live by influencing the way that we think, what are we doing with that? Are we seeking to remain faithful to God and guard our minds, be aware of the fact that they are trying to get us to think a certain way and we need to guard our minds? Daniel chose to be faithful to God and follow him always, regardless of his change in learning, regardless of his change in location. Thirdly, notice this. Go down with me if you would in verses 6 and 7. Now we're getting to, there's this broad category of people that were taken. There's this purpose. He says in verse 6, "Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego." Third way that we see that they were willing to remain faithful to God is this: even though they tried to change their label. They tried to change their label. And what I mean by that is this. Do you see what takes place in verses 6 and 7? As they were taken captive, mom and dad gave them their, we used to call them God-given names. Mom and dad had given them some names. But what happened? As soon as they show up in Babylon, it's as though they came and they said, "My name is Daniel." And they said, "Well, we're taking that label off and we're going to give you another name tag." They were trying to change their label. You say, what's the big deal? They changed their name. People change, you know, names, or they go by nicknames all the time. I go by a nickname. My real name is Glenn. That is the name that my parents gave to me when I was born. But around age 2, my grandmother had heard some kids making fun of me because of my size. I was always real short. And she gave to me the nickname Shorty. And it stuck. In fact, that's what a lot of people know me as. Some of you who'd remember Paul Rogers, that's what Paul calls me, is he calls me Shorty. You would remember Sharon Hayes. I went to school with her, and she called me Shorty. That's my wife, you know, she'll call me Shorty unless I'm in trouble, okay? And when I get called Glenn, I know I'm in trouble, okay? It's just, anyway. But, you know, we have nicknames. Do you want to know something? This was not just a nickname that was being given to them. They were trying to remove any of their remembrance of who God is. And you want to know something? That was something that, in order for them to do that, they were going to have to change their label, their name, their reputation, if you will, their testimony. Now, in our culture today, we just kind of, you know, a lot of times, I shouldn't say we as in everybody, but a lot of times people just choose names because they think it sounds cool, you know? And so we have to be careful and understand when people were given names, there was a meaning that was behind it. Let me give to you the meanings of these guys' names that were given to them by their parents. Daniel means God is my judge. Wow. Every time Daniel heard his name, you know what he remembered? God is my judge. I have to remember that someday I'm going to stand before God, that God is my judge. Hananiah means this, God is gracious. Azariah, his name means God is my help. Mishael means who is like God. You see, every one of these guys' names, it referred them back to Jehovah God. And any time their name would have been mentioned, it would have been a reminder, God is my judge, God is gracious, God is my help, who is like God? It would have reminded them about the God that their parents were trying to teach them about and point them to. And so as soon as they show up in Babylon, you know what they do? We need to change that label. We need to change that name to get them to forget about their God. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he changes their names to have them to be something that would honor Babylonian deity instead. Daniel's name, as they tried to change it, was to Belteshazzar, meaning Bel will protect. Takes them from dependence on God to now depending and thinking about a false god. Shadrach, inspired of Aku. Aku was a moon god. And so they tried to get Shadrach to be thinking about that god Aku. Abednego, servant of Nebo. No longer are you going to realize that God is your help, but Azariah, you're now going to go by Abednego, the servant of Nebo. Meshach, who is like Aku? Again, talking about that moon god that they served. What were they doing? We're trying to influence these young men and change their lives, even in the minutest of details, even in their names. Why? Because they wanted them not to follow after God, Jehovah, always. They wanted them to be someone who was going to conform to their culture and to the world that they were in. And even though they changed their label, they could not change their character. They might have been able to change their name, but they couldn't change their character. And so in our lives, it causes us to ask this question about ourselves. What does the world know about my character? What do they know about me? Do my neighbors even know that I'm a Christian? Have I ever invited my neighbors to church? Have I ever given to them a tract? What about my coworkers? What about those people that I play on a county soccer or some other county sports league? Do they even know that we go to People's Baptist Church? Do they know that I'm a Christian? Have I ever shared with them my testimony? You see, they were changing their name, but really what they were trying to do is change the way that they think, change the way that they live, change their character. So that when people referred to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't thinking about the God of Israel. Instead, they were thinking about the Babylonian gods. So when people see your life, sir, or ma'am, or young person, who does your life point people to? Does it point people to your God and the character of your God? Or does it point to the world and the culture in which we live in? Here are these young men that even in this area, they chose to be faithful to God. And I think it's interesting that Daniel, and I'm not trying to put him over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see them being faithful later on. But we see Daniel is the only character given in this book of the Scriptures that keeps his Hebrew name. In fact, we see the kings even referring to him as most times with his Hebrew name. There are a few exceptions to that, but they refer to him as Daniel. Why? Because Daniel understood, my God is faithful, and in return, I need to always follow after him. Why? Because he is a faithful God. He is faithful in spite of my location. He's faithful in spite of my learning. He's faithful in spite of the change in label. Let me give to you another one. He is faithful in spite of the change in lifestyle. Now, when I use that word lifestyle, typically we perhaps go to, you know, the idea of alternative lifestyles and things like this. But let me just tell you from what we are going to see in this passage of Scripture. Here as you continue to go on, it says in verse 8, this is a verse that probably, again, many of you are familiar with. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You want to know what they were trying to do? They were trying to change his whole lifestyle. It started with his learning. It started with his label, his name, but not only that, but really his lifestyle overall. That you want to know something? Just forget about your God, even in the littlest areas of your life. And so they bring him this food, and what does Daniel have? Daniel has a choice. I'm either going to eat this food that I know has been offered to idols, or I am going to not eat this food, and I'm going to remain faithful to my God. See, there was a lifestyle change that was going to take place. And even in the littlest areas, Daniel realized, I need to be faithful. God is faithful. And in return, if I'm going to follow him always, there needs to be this change in my life. Daniel knew God's laws, and he knew that eating of the king's meat would not be something that was pleasing to God. I don't know if Paul had this in mind when he wrote 1 Corinthians 10:31, but he said, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You say, eating and drinking, really, it makes that much of a difference? Yeah, it does. You see, all of our life ought to be lived, it ought to be wrapped up with that phrase, to the glory of God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12, he tells the Ephesians this, that we might be to the praise of his glory. That we might be what? Have you ever asked that question? That we might be. Be what? Well, that we might be, and then, you know, when I think of that, I think of putting a blank in there, that I might be a man to the praise of his glory. Not a woman. I'm not saying that to be funny. Because in our culture today, there is the, you know, gender confusion and all of that, but you want to know something? God has called me to be a man to the praise of his glory. And the Bible speaks specifically to characteristics of masculinity and to manliness. You want to know something? There are women sitting in this room. You want to know something? God has called you to be a woman to the glory of God. He has not called me to that. He has called you to do that as a woman. That I might be the husband to the praise of his glory. You want to know something? God addresses that in his word as well. That I'm to love my wife. I'm to cherish my wife. I'm to care for my wife. I'm to lead her. I'm to be taking care of my wife and to love her. How? Even as Christ loved the church. The Bible addresses that. That I might be the husband. God has not called me to be a wife. But he has called my wife to be a wife. That she might be a wife to the praise of his glory. You want to know something? There are people in this room who you have not been called to be a wife yet, perhaps. But when you do, you need to do that to the praise of his glory. To point people to God. That I might be a father to the praise of his glory. You know, the scripture addresses that as well. That I need to be bringing my children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That I need to be teaching them diligently the truths of God. Parents, God has given you responsibilities. Pastor, what time is this over? Okay, all right. And so we have been given this responsibility that we might be to the praise of his glory. That I might be a coach when I have the opportunity to coach. That I might be a coach to the praise of his glory. Listen, we have to get rid of this mentality that when we step onto a basketball court, a soccer field, or a volleyball court, that we can just throw off this idea that I still have to be pleasing to God and I can yell at the officials, I can yell at players, I can talk to other coaches. I can do this in the way that we see the secular world doing it. We can't do that if it's not being done in a way that is pleasing to God. And so, as an athlete, when I step onto that soccer field, you want to know something? I'm going to do my best as a soccer player, a basketball player, a volleyball player, a badminton player, whatever it is. I'm going to play the best that I can to the praise of his glory so that when I walk off that court, when I walk off of that field, I'm able to do it to the praise of his glory. I did it in a way that brings glory to God. I do this as a child. How do you bring glory to God as a teenager, as a young person in this room? I do that by obeying mom and dad. I do that by honoring mom and dad to the praise of his glory. As someone who is an employee or an employer, God's word addresses that as well. Listen, there is no area of life that God does not address, that he does not give us instruction on how we ought to live a lifestyle that is bringing glory to God. So in our attitudes, do we have a complaining attitude or do we have a thankful attitude? Do we evidence manners that are kind, that are thoughtful of other people? Or do our mannerisms suggest a selfishness, a laziness? Or does it show something that is diligent? Listen, the scripture speaks to all of these areas. Why? So that we might be to the praise of his glory. What does our lifestyle reveal to the culture around us about our understanding of God and our relationship with God? here is Daniel, that even in a minute area like the things that he was going to eat, he said, you want to know something? I need to be faithful to God, even though they're trying to change my lifestyle. Let me give to you one more, and then we'll close. Verse 8, we already read down through this passage of Scripture, but I think they were trying to change his loyalty. His loyalty. Who is he going to be most loyal to? All of these changes that we've talked about are subtle ways in which Daniel's loyalty to his God could have been compromised. Daniel could have given these into these areas, but instead he chose to be loyal to his God. And you want to know something? All of us are loyal to someone. All of us. There's a loyalty that we have to someone. There's this common saying or expression, only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. To whom does your life reveal you are loyal? Daniel's life, as we follow him from Daniel chapter 1 all the way through the book, we see that Daniel chose to be faithful to his God, to follow always after God. And so I ask you this question. Who are you loyal to? All of us are loyal to some sort of team, whether it's our high school team, a college team, a professional team. We're loyal to them, and we will cheer for them. And, you know, we will be excited about when they do well, and we will be disappointed when they don't. But you want to know something? We remain faithful to them and loyal to them regardless. Are we that faithful and loyal to our God that people see a loyalty to our God? Because we talk about our God, because we share things that our God is doing, do we evidence a loyalty to our God? Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. I don't think anybody ever questioned Paul's loyalty. I don't think anybody ever wondered, I wonder if Paul's going to be loyal. I'm not saying he was perfect, but Paul made it pretty evident, for to me to live is Christ. Oh, that people would see that in our lives. You know, we live in a world that is constantly changing. I mentioned that. But do you realize that not all change is bad? Not all change is something that is horrible. In fact, you and I in Romans chapter 12, we were told this, that we should not be conformed to this world, but we need to be transformed. You know what that is? That's changed, metamorphosized. We need to be changed, molded into the image of God instead of being conformed to the image of this world. One of those things is taking place in our lives. We're either going to be like Plato, being molded into a specific, you know, shape, or we are going to fight the mold that this world is going to try and conform us to. Be transformed. Be changed. Be different. Even though our location may change, whether it's here at church, whether it's at work, whether it is at play, we need to remember, you want to know something? I need to be faithful to God. Follow God always, despite the location that I'm in. I need to be faithful to God, despite the learning that is being trying to give to me. Accept the good things. Accept those things that are pleasing to God. Those things that are not, then we need to remove them from our lifestyle, regardless of the label. You know, people will make fun of you if you claim to be a Christian and you're going to live faithful to that, but remain faithful to God. Follow Him always, despite the labels that they may give to us. Follow Him as well, in spite of the lifestyle changes that they may try to make us make. And follow God always, even though they may try to change our loyalties. Remain loyal to God. Follow Him always. Why? Because God is faithful. And through God's help, as we seek to live faithful to God's Word, we will be able to live in a way that brings glory to Him. And when people remember our lives, hopefully they won't remember us as the main character, but they'll remember God and the way that He has changed us. Let's pray.